This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hour number five of the G-Bag Nation, and we're getting you set for Rangers, Padres, John Gray on the hill. Rangers looking for three in a row on your home of the World Series champs. 105.3 The Fan, Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, and you are Turn It On and Leave It On listeners as we get you closer and closer to pregame at 6:30. And joining us now from the globe, it is Jared Sandler. Jared, how are you, and do we have a new lineup? With maybe the addition of Corey Seager.
We do. Corey Seager is starting. When Bruce Bochy met with the media earlier, he acknowledged that while they did submit and release a lineup, that there was a chance it would be changed if they determined that Corey was good to go, and they determined that Corey was good to go. So Corey is going, and he's going to hit second, and he's playing shortstop. So we'll see Corey not only in the box but in the field.
Hell yes, man.
Dude, but how about Josh Smith's dominance at that shortstop position? I mean, my goodness, we know that he can do so many different things, but the plays, some of these highlight type plays that he's made at shortstop are just ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a really good defensive player, and you know, when the Rangers acquired him from the Yankees, that was one of the first things mentioned, a part of, you know, the players in the package. You got this Josh Smith guy, man, he can really pick it, and he's shown that, and you know, he's even said, hey, one reason why I survived two sub-200 batting average seasons, you know, albeit as a part-time player, was because of his defense, his defensive versatility, and his just overall deftness defensively. And we're seeing that put to action. You know, it's a big reason why, you know, we were talking about this the other day when comparing Josh Smith to other third basemen. A lot of people believe Jose Ramirez to be the best third baseman in the American League this year, and I think most people, if given a choice, would choose Jose Ramirez, but Josh Smith's got a higher WAR than Jose Ramirez, so take that for what it's worth, but to some degree, that's due to Josh's contributions defensively, be it at third base or at shortstop.
Now, we get more news regarding some other players, Cody Bradford, Josh Young.
Yeah, so you know, Cody Bradford, it doesn't seem like there's anything super definitive. He is progressing. He's throwing off the mound. And so, you know, I think that he's obviously taking steps. It will be interesting to see where the Rangers roster is, but Bruce Bochy sort of hinted at the Rangers bringing him back as a reliever and not bothering with stretching him out this year, in part because, you know, they have the ability to do that. You know, it's a luxury. They have all these starters, and there's no reason, even though Cody Bradford was arguably the team's best starter through the first month, there's no reason to force that issue when they could maybe get him back with the big league club sooner. Because one of the things we've talked about is that this team has desperately needed depth in their bullpen, and you know, he's someone who can provide that. He can provide that as another left-handed option, but someone who can get lefties and righties out.
And how about Josh Young?
Oh, yeah. So Josh Young is going to be shut down until next week. They're just taking the rest and see approach. So they're going to rest the wrist, and then if all goes well, when they reevaluate next week, he'll start a rehab assignment. But because his return has been put on pause now for more than just a couple days, he'll need to ramp back up with a rehab assignment. They want to see not only him get some more at-bats, but they're going to want to see how the wrist responds. And so Josh Young hopefully will still be back here soon, but it won't be until after the All-Star break at the earliest.
Jared, do we have any answers of why this team is so inconsistent in scoring runs, though? That they have really good series? Is it as simple as like dealing with some of these rotations of opponents and stuff, or is it, I mean, it just seems like to me there's two, three, four games where it's really, really good offense, and then all of a sudden it goes dormant and they tend to lose those series. Have they kind of figured some things out with the staff or anything like that about the hitting and things?
Well, I'll tell you, if you want to know why it's been inconsistent, Marcus Semien, Adolis Garcia, sure, Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim, Leody Taveras have all been below league average performers up to this point. Yeah. That's not to say that's who they are, but over the course of the season thus far, that's who they've been. Corey Seager has been a you know, significantly better than league average performer, but he still hasn't been as good as he was last year. Yeah. And so, you know, Nathaniel Lowe has here recently become a better-than-league-average performer thanks to a jolt of power, but for the better part of the season when he was healthy, that wasn't the case. And so, you know, I just listed off not just a third of the lineup or, you know, two-thirds or a half, I mean, but closer to two-thirds and really all but one guy, Josh Smith, if you think about it. So I think that's why, and I think, you know, I'm sure for each player there are mechanical reasons, things, adjustments, approach, philosophy, all different things, right? It's you know, each player's got a different story to tell as far as why the season has gone the way that it has. But I think at the end of the day, and you know this, Broadus, you fall back and you got really talented players. They're not just talented because they show up to the yard and they, you know, they've always had it easy and they get the job done. You know, these guys are talented, and a part of their talent is their ability to adjust, their ability to work their way out of things, their ability to figure things out with the, you know, the help and the collaboration of their coaching staff. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, these guys I listed, they all have track records, right? They all have skins on the wall. And
right.
I think you're starting to slowly see these guys turn it around. Certainly Adolis Garcia, Nathaniel Lowe, Wyatt Langford. You know, you're starting to get these guys to get going in the right direction. I think that's helped. And the next up is Marcus Semien, because Marcus has really, really struggled. It's been a down year for Marcus. He's scuffled here of late. But, you know, we obviously know with Marcus, again, track record, skins on the wall.
Yeah.
And you figure that at some point something's going to click, it's going to fall back into place, he's going to turn things around and be the player that the Rangers know he can be.
Yeah, Jared, I was going to ask you about that too, because do you find these players when you talk to the hitting coaches and stuff like that, the players, do they revert back to things from last year? Do you go back and watch tape of some of your swings? Did they maybe because of a championship season, do you like, okay, I have to do this a little differently? And is it really as simple as, wait a minute, I need to go back and look at some of the things that I was doing in 2023?
Yeah, I think so. Every player responds to instruction differently or the resources differently, right? Some guys are film guys. Some guys are numbers guys.
Right.
Some guys are hit off the tee for 17 hours guys, whereas other guys want to, you know, get 20 pitches from the machine. Or, you know, I'm obviously being silly now, but and so, you know, with Wyatt Langford, for instance, and not that he was around last year, but they sat him down and, first of all, the coaches themselves sat down and looked, hey, what did he look like last year at Florida?
Yeah.
And then did their own work in comparison to what he's done this year, found some things that, you know, could be improved upon, and they sat down with him and, you know, they wrapped his arms around him and said, hey, this is what we're seeing. You know, let's work towards this. You know, some guys, it might be a numbers thing. It might be a, hey, you know, last year you did X and it worked out really well. This year you're doing Y. Or, hey, why are you, here's an example of how the data, you know, sometimes plays a part in guys' thought process. You might tell a guy, hey, dude, let me tell you something. When you're swinging at fastballs at the top of the zone, your success is minimal.
Right.
So, hey, early in the count, lay off that. Stop swinging at that pitch.
Yeah.
You know, lay off that pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they can throw that pitch for a strike, great. But you swing into that pitch just because it is a strike is playing right into the pitcher's hands. That is not your strength. And again, that's just a random example. Mm-hmm. But so I think it's a little bit of everything, Broadus. I think, you know, they personalize it based on what makes sense, what clicks with the player, what the challenges are. And I think nowadays, you know, there are a lot of different avenues you can pursue for improvement, whereas – you know, in the past, you just didn't have nearly as many resources to help tell the story.
What are your thoughts right now on John Gray? He had that rough start against the Mets. There was the tipping of the pitches that was talked about. It was great against Kansas City, but then struggled again against Baltimore.
Yeah, and the Baltimore one, you know, was interesting because that's obviously a really good lineup, and they're gonna do damage. And John said, "Hey, I just didn't have it." And you know, he had that line, you know, don't give these guys too much credit. I could hit home runs on the pitches I was throwing or whatever. But the thing that's worth noting is, you know, last year John had a stretch much like this year where he was lights out for almost 2 months. And then he fell back into a place of inconsistency and, you know, had to really work his way out of it. And so it seems like he's following a similar pattern. He had a tremendous stretch pretty much from April 6th. Through June 12th. You know, that's more than 2 months when he didn't give up more than two runs in a single outing. And since then, he's had 9, 0, and 8. And, you know, if that pattern holds, hopefully he's going to put up another zero tonight. It seems like that's the trend for Rangers pitchers here at home lately. But, you know, he can be a – you know, we always talk about hitters as streaky players sometimes. But there are pitchers who take on that personality as well. And John is a guy, you know, in the Rangers' time – or his time with the Rangers, he's been a guy who has been streaky. And right now he's just kind of in one of these stretches where it's a little more inconsistent.
Getting you set for Rangers and Padres. We'll continue this preview with Jared Sandler coming up on the other side here in the G-Bag Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to lose ourselves into a baseball conversation with our guy Jared Sandler, courtesy of Blue Nail Roofing. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable and accidents happen. And Frankel and Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. If you or a loved one has been in an accident, contact Frankel and Frankel for a free consultation at 214-333-3333 or go to truckwreck.com. Thanks to Blue Nail Roofing, we have our conversation with Jared Sandler getting you set for game number two, Rangers and Padres. Now, all-star game question for you and home run derby, no Judge, no Otani. How much of a bummer is that for you?
Yeah, I mean, that stinks. It'd be great to see them, but you know, thankfully the home run derby is not like the dunk contest where, you know, you're basically going to look and take a random guy who never plays on some random team and throw him in the derby like it seems like the dunk contest has these days. So, you know, I think there are enough stars. Hopefully you get enough. I know Adolis Garcia to some might not be a guy worthy of the home run derby if the game was not hosted by the Rangers. But, you know, he's a showman, and I think he's someone who could have a good time, and the fans would love watching. Obviously, the home fans certainly would, so it'd be great if Adolis can get in. You know, having a young star like Gunnar Henderson in the derby, that would be really cool. And so I'm confident they're going to be able to populate the derby with some interesting names. I get it with Judge and Otani. I understand why, you know, they'd say no. They've done it, and you know, it's time for others to get their turn.
Hey, Jared, I'm making my calendar up. What do I look forward to? Is it the 8th annual Swinging for a Cause coming up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's give me a time. I mean, when is the date? Because do we have a date yet on this?
Nothing. We're not announcing that for quite some time.
Okay.
I may or may not have texted you guys just so you could put it on your calendar.
Okay.
Not for air just yet, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. But
I was pumped, man. It's our favorite
game set for Rangers Padres here in the G-Bag Nation.
I was just thinking about I've asked him every baseball question I want to ask, but I was thinking about Swinging for a Cause. What a great.
No, I appreciate it. We may or may not be back at the ballpark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
No, you're right. Appreciate the enthusiasm.
Charity.
We do have the all-star starters that are being revealed, and I guess Altuve is getting it for second base. Does Jose Altuve even go to these all-star games, though? Like, can they still be Marcus Semien?
Yeah, that'd be kind of funny if they're like, hey, that plane ticket. I mean, these guys are probably taking a private plane, but, that plane. Well, you know what? I wonder. No, he wouldn't ride back with the Rangers. Never mind. Sometimes these guys will go
a ride.
But that's usually when it's not the full team. It's like, you know, two teams playing. Oakland and Texas played before the All-Star game the year that Gallo was in the Home Run Derby. And I think the Rangers and A's All-Stars, which included Matt Olson on the A's, they all flew together, but it wasn't both teams, right? So. It would be, you know, if they wanted to reroute Jose Altuve's plane, he's not going to get a round of applause. He is going to get booed vociferously here, and whether he deserves it or not, the Astros got off easy, and if the punishment and penalty is that these guys just always get booed, then so be it. You got to suck it up and deal with it.
Hey, can you please, Jared, for us, can you work in vociferously or whatever it was you just said into the play-by-play action tonight?
Would you like me to work in vociferously or vociferous? What did you say? Vociferous?
Whatever it was you just said. I think that was a great word. What is or who is your pick to click tonight?
All of them.
Tavares
hit the ball hard last night.
Let me
night.
Talk
he almost
about your charity.
One.
How about that?
Last night.
We talk some more about your charity tonight.
Hey, let's do it tomorrow. All right, you guys are. Let's do it on Friday. Again.
Sounds we'll good. Man.
Happy
Love
Fourth,
you, man.
Jared. Enjoy the game. We'll be back to chat Friday at 2:00. Rangers baseball's next.